This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. A week ago in a Wayne County court, a judge told Lamar Monson to go enjoy his life. Monson had been wrongfully convicted of the slaying of a 12-year-old Detroit girl named Christina Brown. Monson spent more than 20 years behind bars. Outside of the courtroom, Dolores Monson, Lamar's mother, expressed her relief and joy.
All the places that I had been, nobody else wanted to listen. Different prosecutors, judges, lawyers. I've been to so many people, it's not even funny. But I thank God for Jesus. And I thank God my son is home and he's free.
Joining me now are Lamar Monson and David Moran with the Michigan Innocence Clinic, which worked to free Lamar Monson. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling good. Very
you've
good.
Been out for a little while, but that news on Friday must have been some real relief.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Just to have that weight off your shoulders after so long, it's definitely mind-blowing.
So it's hard for us who've not been incarcerated, especially wrongfully convicted and incarcerated. What is 2 decades in prison for a crime you didn't commit left you thinking about how the system works?
Well, it's definitely some room for improvement in a lot of areas. And I think the more these cases come out, the more they'll see that some things that really need to be looked at a little closely and some policies that need to be changed and, you know, just to get things right.
How did you feel when you saw other people who had been wrongfully convicted released, but you were still behind bars?
That was always my hope. You know, I felt like that would be me one day. And so when I seen those things, and I'm pretty sure when people saw my case, they also felt the same way. Well, I hope they felt the same way.
Well, the Michigan Innocence Clinic is still working on cases, and other innocence clinics are working on some. Are you kind of keeping track of that because they are where you were?
I do a little bit, you know. It's good to see that process of things working for truth and people come through a struggle like that. It's difficult, but if you can see some light at the end of the tunnel, and I believe the Michigan Law Clinic is that light that, you know, that people gravitate to, that they can see a difference and a change coming.
David Moran, my colleague Lindsay Smith, reported a guy named Bill Proctor, a reporter at the time, got a tip that the wrong man had been convicted. That was 60 days before before Proctor's retirement. That was more than 20 years ago. Tell us what happened.
In 1996, a 12-year-old girl named Christina Brown was found killed in an apartment used for drug dealing on Boston Street in Detroit. In fact, Lamar is the person who found the body. He went into the apartment and he found the body and he ran around the apartment building telling people to call 911, and then he stuck around and talked to the police, which is, you know, hardly the conduct you'd expect from somebody who's a murder suspect. But he talked to the police. But within hours, the Detroit police decided that they were going to pin it on him. We actually have a memo from that afternoon saying all we need to do is get a confession from him. And so they arrested him. There was no probable cause to arrest him, but they arrested him. And then for a long period of interrogation going overnight, they eventually emerged with a signed statement written by the detective in which Lamar supposedly confessed to stabbing Christina Brown to death because she wouldn't have sex with him. And this particular detective was later removed from homicide because she had tricked other suspects into signing false confessions by telling them that they could go home if they just sign this. And this is, I've written down just what you told me. And that's what Lamar maintained happened here, that he was tricked into signing this confession. Well, they should have known right away the confession was false because the confession was that he stabbed her to death. But then a few days later, the autopsy report came out and revealed that she'd actually been bludgeoned to death with a blunt instrument. And there was a bloody toilet tank lid found near the body, which was the presumed murder weapon. The medical examiner thought that was consistent with the wound she suffered. So this case got a lot of attention because a 12-year-old girl was dealing drugs in a bad neighborhood in Detroit and then was brutally murdered. And Bill Proctor actually covered it. And then Lamar's convicted in 1997 of murder. And fast forward 15 years, and in 2012, a woman named Shalina Bentley went to the Detroit police and revealed that her ex-boyfriend was actually the real murderer. Shalina Bentley had lived in that same apartment building. She and her ex-boyfriend were using drugs that night. They ran out of drugs. the ex-boyfriend then went downstairs to buy more drugs from Christina Brown. And she wouldn't give him drugs on credit, apparently. And they had a fight, and she scratched him, and he responded by killing her. And so Bill Proctor brought this to our attention. He found out about Shalina Bentley in 2012, brought this to our attention. And our focus then shifted to trying to, first of all, interview Shalina Bentley, and we found her extremely credible about her story. But then also our focus shifted to, were there any fingerprints on the murder weapon? Because we discovered that there was a fingerprint that was found on the toilet tank lid, which was the murder weapon, that had not been matched to anybody. And we spent the next three frustrating years trying to get the Detroit police and the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office to agree to have that fingerprint tested. And finally, they eventually did it on their own. The Detroit police did it on their own and didn't tell us, and we had to keep demanding to get the information. And finally, we found out that sure enough, that fingerprint matched Robert Lee Lewis, who was the boyfriend that had been named by Shalina Bentley.
What's going on when we see this kind of story again and again? You had three wrongfully convicted people released this summer.
Right.
And you've had 16 overall. What's it say about the system? And a lot of this is coming out of Detroit.
Chief Craig from the Detroit Police Department, who's the new chief, I think will be among the first to tell you that the Detroit Police Department in the 1990s had a lot of problems. And a lot of these cases come from the 1990s. Some of them come from even earlier, and some come from a few years later. And this is a classic case of tunnel vision. They show up to a homicide scene, and within an hour or so, they decide, well, we've got a guy we're talking to. We're going to make him the suspect. And then all evidence going any other direction is ignored, and it's all funneled into it must be Lamar Monson. And the other part of it is resistance to making it right. And so when Shalina Bentley came forward in 2012, she went to the Detroit police and gave this statement. And we found out about it because Bill Proctor told us about it. But as far as I can see, the Detroit police and the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office did no follow-up to see if she was telling the truth. We did. We had to do the follow-up, and it took years of resistance before we got the follow-up. You know, and then the coda of this story is we confirmed that there was this fingerprint that belonged to Robert Lewis, and the prosecution said, well, that doesn't prove anything. He could have been in that apartment to buy drugs and left his fingerprint on the toilet tank lid. We asked to see the toilet tank lid. It was still in evidence. And last September, two students and I went to see the toilet tank lid, and it turned out it was still covered in blood. Still had blood stains all over it. And there were obvious fingerprints embedded in blood on the toilet tank lid that had never been compared to anybody. And we had, we and the prosecutor had the Michigan State Police do a full analysis of the whole thing. And they found 10 fingerprints on the toilet tank lid, most of them embedded in what appears to be blood, all of them matching Robert Lee Lewis. And yet, they still didn't give in. We had to have 4 days of evidentiary hearings in which we presented the fingerprint experts. We presented an expert on false confessions explaining why Lamar's purported confession didn't make any sense, didn't match the physical evidence, shouldn't be believed. And the judge granted our motion for relief from judgment. And the prosecutor actually argued that, Robert Lewis's fingerprints in blood on the toilet tank lid, which is the murder weapon, maybe that's not incriminating because maybe he wandered by while EMS was on the way and saw the toilet tank lid near the body and thought, I should get that out of the way so the paramedics would have easier access.
This is just beggar's belief.
I mean, the judge didn't buy it, to say the least.
Mr. Bunce, I want to talk about, you're out. You've been out since February?
You were out on bond. February 1st.
You learned that you were not facing another trial. That's great. I'm just wondering, what did you do when you got home? The media aren't there, and you were just you and your family. I mean, what's that conversation like?
Oh, it's like something that you've been waiting on for a long, long time. And I was just blessed to have my family intact, after so long. Have my parents both alive, well, doing good, my children. So I was just happy as I could be. And I felt more happy for them than I did for myself.
Let me tell you, we heard from your mom. She sounds great. I wanted to ask you about the kids. I mean, 20 years, you were gone for, 21 years, and they grew up.
Yeah.
What kind of adjustment has that been for you and for them?
It's been an adjustment, to say the least. 20-some years, I left my daughter. She was 6. I come back, she's 26, grown. But we making it work. It's just right now we're kind of going through the process of bonding again and learning each other, and I'm enjoying the process. I believe she's enjoying the process, and everything's coming together.
What are your plans for the future? What do you want to do?
I want to go back to school, give me a degree in business. I feel my passion is I'm an entrepreneur at heart, so I definitely want to start my own business and just be an asset to my family, asset to my community.
You know, in the story that David Moran told us about what happened that night, here you are trying to be the good guy, make sure the cops are aware of this. And there's that old saying, no good deed goes unpunished, but this is just surreal. Well, you use that word. I understand that the whole thing has been surreal. Are you likely to help someone in the future when you see something's wrong?
I actually thought about that before too, but I think I would be compelled to help anyway. I wouldn't pass it up.
I mean, he did the right thing.
Right.
And he ended up 20 years in prison for it. Instead of saying, well, there's a dead body, I should run away, he had neighbors call the police and stuck around and talked to the police, and he ends up 20 years in prison.
Lamar Monson, I hope you can find some sense of normalcy in your life. I really do. I wish you well.
I appreciate that.
David Moran, good to talk to you again, and I'm looking forward to talking about these future cases.